dropping knowledge bombs all over the state of Alabama.
Pew, 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 pew.
Truett News Radio, Truett News Radio. Listen to us on Truett News Radio.
Welcome to Truett News Radio. It's your weekly dose of gumption and positivity, for whatever that means. Now, here are your hosts, Tony Truett and Brock Murphy, probably the two coolest guys in the world, at least in their minds. Let it rip, fellas.
Oh, we're ready to go.
It's ripping, it's ripping. Good morning to the entire state of Alabama and parts thereabout, huh?
Yeah, Brock, how are you?
Well, I'm lovely. Just lovely.
Fantastic.
This is Truett News Radio. Who are you?
I'm Tony Truett with Truett Insurance and Bonding. Love to help you with your insurance needs, home, auto, business. We do a ton of business stuff. Mm. And I do all the surety bonds for the contractors out there. And we slipped one in right under the wire yesterday.
Yeah,
$3.1 million to go out the door of 2023 on. I was thrilled about that.
Well, that's nice. I'm Brock Murphy with Brock G. Murphy Law Firm. Love to help you out if you're a small business. I do a lot of construction-related stuff. A lot of contracts, transactional stuff, help you out with projects that you're trying to put together, review contracts, help a lot of subcontractors and general contractors with their projects and disputes that come up. Had a really neat meeting yesterday with Jordan Hosey.
Yeah.
She's the one who's real the force behind the Buck Creek B&B, which is a brand new B&B right off of the waterfall there in Helena.
Yeah.
And she's the one who has the property upon which they're going to build the Brock's Gap B&B, whatever it's going to be called, right across from Brock's Gap Brewing.
Need to get her on.
Man, we do. It's a really, really neat project. As an Airbnb, you know, the units will be sold and, you know, get in touch with her if you're interested in doing that. But it's going to have a real cool pool on the rooftop and event space, conference rooms. There will be members in, that can join sort of to be exclusive members into a cigar bar there. But she got to showing me the floor plans. It's a really, really dramatic building that's going to be put up there with homage to a bunch of different things that are passionate to her. So really excited to see that come together over there in Brock's Gap.
Yeah, man. Hey, Brock, our podcast has been ticking along over here. So everybody remember, if you can't catch us live every week, go check it out at your leisure.
For sure.
It's at all the places, Spotify and Amazon, Apple, iHeart, wherever you want to catch it. You should be able to, Truett News Radio podcast.
Well, and by the way, you can look and download entire shows, but you can also look and download specific interviews.
Yeah.
So
instead of listening for 55 minutes, you can have 10 to 12 minutes.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've had, I mean, you know, a catalog of really, really interesting guests. In fact, I dare say pretty much everybody who's come on has been interesting. You know,
they really have. We've been fortunate that everybody has done it, but they have. Everybody's got a great story. I think that's the best part of this show is letting people talk about what they do, and because everybody's interesting.
That's what we've been telling people.
And
you
they
know,
like what they do. And
yeah, for sure. People will ask what, you know, what's our show about, and of course there's a little bit of a stutter. I say that we're the counter at the convenience store, the impulse counter. You know, we're always talking about different subjects, but the point in raising that and trailering on what you just said is everybody out there has an interesting story, and at least for 10 or 12 minutes, that gets consumed by that interesting story, no matter what people get involved in. I think of T's Great Salsa. I mean, what a fascinating story that started with. My favorite Mexican restaurant went out of business, and so by golly, I had to do something to get their salsa.
Well, you know, from that to now that we're talking about all this, like having John T. Edge on, or, you know, whoever it is that we've had on, everybody's, you know, really invested in what they're doing, and they want to be good at it. And again, I'm fascinated by all this. Sam Titchener today is coming on, started this brand Fups.
Yeah.
It's a cheese.
Cheesy
snack
poofs.
Food.
Yeah.
It's Puffs backward. Fups. So, but I mean, how do you do that? And how cool is that? He's you know, doing his own brand out there.
No, absolutely. And yet, you know, that's not something that you knew about. We like to say, we talk about the things you didn't know you'd be interested in until we're talking about them. By the way, Bill, the bridge builder with Banner Industrial, he always texts us before
Bill.
The shows. He's very, very loyal to do that. And he just explained that he's, it was a text and we're on, but something about, looks like he's bidding on or is interested in working on a bridge that will cross over the waterfall there in Helena near the Buck Creek B&B. So we have to watch out
for
that.
He's good. Mike Hayes sent me something. He was listening last week. So he always has been a big fan. We appreciate everybody that listens.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
Feel free to Always send us something, Tony@truittnewsradio.com. Love to hear from you.
Especially, especially if you're in Mobile and Huntsville, yeah. Let us know about folks around there, stories that you think they're interested
in. Everywhere. If you know of somebody that'd be good on here, we'd love a lead on them or whatever,
sure.
So we can have them on and just hear what they got to say. That's a great point. So let's get on to the news, man.
Yeah.
I saw this. Disney is saying in a report they've been fighting with the governor
state of Florida
down there.
Right.
Yeah, so they've released a report here fairly recently that said they have a $40.3 billion economic impact on the state of Florida. Wow. I could buy that.
Yeah, 40.3
I mean,
billion.
I know everybody inflates their figures, but, I mean, that's a pretty big deal down there.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, so I don't know what to do with that necessarily. Is that the amount of tourism that they get to, or is that something where their tourism impacts that people go to that restaurant,
this
hotel?
And probably just jobs and everything is factored into that number, but they run a lot of people through there. Nashville's famous Meet and Three Arnold's, I thought was really interesting. With all the explosive growth Nashville has had, Arnold's is one of their, it's kind of like a Nicky's, Nicky's West here. But they had closed. They were going to sell their property to a part of a lot bigger development that was being put together. So they closed and all that. But now the development, I guess, fell apart. So they are temporarily reopening and just doing lunch. But they're looking for a new location. And he said they could do it kind of anywhere in the area. But basically saying this is what is the interesting part to me, that they ask, what are you looking for in your new location? And he's like, well, we want our customers. This is the opposite of the explosive growth, the downside
for sure,
of what it
for
is.
Sure.
That, we're looking for a place that has parking and our customers don't have to pay for parking. So all that had gone away where they were. And they also don't want to have to pay millions in property tax.
Right,
And you think about it, and with all the values going up, it chases people out.
Sure.
I mean, there is a bad side to all of it.
So apparently Arnold's is going to open up in Murfreesboro, right, outside of Middle Tennessee.
Well, he said anywhere. I mean, they could. That was the thing. Yeah. He's like, we're looking at all the neighborhoods, it isn't going to be kind of in that, downtownish or area.
Well, that's a bummer for him, right? I mean,
I'm sure they're going to get paid for the property no matter what happens.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess it just
that's
won't
the
be
good
that.
Side of the explosive growth. But while you're paying the property tax, rough.
Yeah, but that large development project, I guess that those folks aren't paying that price with that infusion, so now they have to find someone else.
Man, we were just talking about before it started. Jamie Wheelis, as I think how you say his name, he went to Auburn, graduated in '87, but he is the CEO and founder of now Ignite Animation Studios.
Yeah, but he's had his finger in some things.
Yeah, my son Zach heard him speak at Auburn, and he has been involved with George Lucas. He actually, I think, did the animation stuff on Yoda in the prequel films that were going on. Like, that was his project. And then he did,
has anybody really heard of Star Wars? I mean,
huge movies,
he developed the character of Yoda, right?
I don't know if the character, but the animation part of it.
Right,
and we were talking about the beard, wasn't Davy Jones and
it had like the snake beard.
Yeah, I think he did all that. So, I mean, really cool project.
The Incredible Hulk.
The Incredible Hulk. He had a long list, super accomplished and started his own thing. And he's had this short film that won a new award for something, but. I looked him up beforehand and he said, he was doing animation stuff, but he went to see the original Jurassic Park and he's sitting there looking at what's happening in front of him.
Right,
and you remember how mind blowing was at the time.
Yeah.
And still,
it was 3D. Yeah.
It still looks good. But he's like, I was sitting there looking at that and he goes, I didn't even know what it was, but I knew that's what I wanted to spend the rest of my life doing. And
I just think this is
what inspires you, I guess.
No doubt. Listen, we were talking about Arnold's. It's not a perfect segue, but interesting to me. So there's a couple that was looking in 2017 for some stuff around Casper, Wyoming, and they came across the Rialto soda fountain. It was 100 years old. Well, I guess it wasn't quite 100 years old back then, but they decided, you know what, let's go take this old historic soda fountain in Casper, Wyoming, and let's bring it back. Let's revive it. And by golly, they've done it. They put the money into it, and this couple has brought back to life a 100-year-old Rialto soda fountain in Casper, Wyoming. Really cool pictures of it online. But my point is not just that people here might be interested in a soda fountain being rejuvenated in Casper, Wyoming, which, by the way, I do think is cool. But why isn't that happening everywhere?
Yep.
I mean, soda fountains were, that was fellowship in a lot of communities.
Oh, yeah.
And you just don't see them anymore.
Yeah. I agree with that. Hey, kind of circling back to what we're saying about Disney having a huge economic impact, events. I mean, these are staggering to me. The, you know, the Sugar Bowl is coming up as one of the semifinals in the college football playoff. Washington and Texas. Okay.
Right.
One night, or you know, is the event, but you have everybody in town for it. But that one thing is expected to have a $200 million economic impact in New Orleans that includes more than $20 million in direct tax revenue for the city.
Good
grief. Isn't that incredible?
Yeah, $200 million. What was the F1 that weekend? $1.2 billion, right?
That was, I got something on that over here. You know, they're just kind of reporting everything on that. You still won't know some of the information until January or February when the corporations report. But in November, which again we've said it a lot, but the race happened on a weekend that's kind of dead, or was the worst weekend in Vegas apparently. Yeah. And they turned that into something great. But they're now saying they had the highest average rate room rate in history during November thanks to the race. Rooms cost on average across everything basically $250 a night.
Oh wow,
that's not just Strip, that's everywhere in the area. Went for that. They said the revenue per available room, which is RevPAR, which the hotel people keep track of, reached $204.18. It's almost a 35% increase year over year on those days. I mean, it's amazing, you know, what they have. They said it's the rooms on the Strip, 37% jump from same time a year ago. Downtown Vegas rooms went, it was nowhere near the race, but it was up basically 11% over last year.
Wow.
Then they said Harry Reid International Airport out there had its best November ever with 4.8 million passengers arriving and departing.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, I mean, because you think about all the, you know.
I'm not sure what we have here. Yeah. I mean, I think a couple of million maybe.
Yeah, right.
Their thing through 2023 stands at 52.8 million people go through that airport through November.
And then think about when they buy a bottle of Coke, a magazine, a pack of gum, you know, some quick little snack or lunch. I mean, that's an awful lot of revenue just right there at the airport.
Yeah. Hey, Taylor Hicks is playing down in Columbiana on January 12th and 13th. Get out and support him. Nice. He's a show alum.
Yep,
and he's also playing up in Franklin, Tennessee on January 19th. The 38 Songwriters Festival is coming up January 12th through the 15th. I've never been to that, but I think that'd be pretty fun. They build that up good. But if you're interested in anything on that, it's 38songwritersfestival.com. So check that out and get some tickets.
Yeah.
What else we got here? Oh, and this is actually cool, too. I got trapped in this one year, and it turned out to be a happy accident. But the 45th annual Mardi Gras Parade is coming up in Gulf Shores.
Oh, okay.
You know,
all the
big Mobile stuff, but all the other little towns have parades. But Gulf Shores, I got stuck in. I was trying to leave town one morning years ago, and you couldn't because the parade was coming right down 59. So I got out and just watched, and it was great. I had a ball just sitting there by myself on the little porch of the Dollar General down there.
Oh, nice, yeah.
Overlooking it. But Lulu, Jimmy Buffett's sister, Lucy, is going to be the Grand Marshal this year.
Nice.
So, but that's coming up February 13th, starting at 10. So if you can be down there for that, that's cool.
Hey, you know, I went down and visited with my folks in Navarre for Christmas, and we went out on Christmas Day and drove around the seashore. By the way, really strange. When you went over the bridge to Navarre Beach, the sound was just like glass. There was, you know, no waves, nothing, very clear. But there was a strange mist over at Navarre Beach. We took the seashore over to Pensacola Beach, and you know, you really can't see the beach during the Navarre Beach portion of it. But you get to the National Seashore, and we were surprised to discover super, super heavy surf, like where a couple of waves crash and it's sort of explosive vertically, you know. Really curious. Got over to Pensacola Beach and it was real, real heavy like that. But we drove around Pensacola, and it's astounding what's going on in Pensacola. A lot of really good growth over there.
Yeah.
From the Blue Wahoo Stadium all the way over past Palafax into the military park.
Oh, man, it's pretty. I mean, downtown's cool.
We got to
get the mayor or somebody on from down there and tell us about it.
For sure. Well, we went down into Palafox towards like the port. It juts out into the bay or towards the bay, and they're building a new condo building there, and got to look in yesterday, a 3-bedroom, 3.5-bath, 3-level condo there in that building, $1.89 million, Tony, $1,500 a month dues once you pay it off. But there was also this really cool dramatic roof line a couple blocks off of Palafox. I mean, like really dramatic to where it drew you. You had to go see what it was about, and it's just about complete. It's not complete. Brassfield and Gorey's building it.
Really?
And it's for the IHMC Health Span Resilience and Performance Research Complex, which immediately I discovered I'm not smart enough to even understand what they do, but it has something to do. It says their scientists are investigating the application and optimal regimen of metabolic strategies for improving cognitive and physical performance, in addition to protecting against potential injury in humans operating in extreme environments like cold water and high altitude.
Yeah, Brassfield's also doing, I saw something there, kicking off a renovation and addition to the Dothan Opera House.
Oh, nice.
Which is kind of cool. And then I was sitting here looking at this thing, BL Harbert International. They're just finished up a project in, I guess you say this, Windhoek, Nambia.
Yeah, yeah.
Finished up the new U.S. Embassy there. So they do, and we need to get somebody on from there because they do incredible stuff all over the world.
I had a fella in my small group, Scott Hayes. Hopefully I'm allowed to say his name. He is that part of that international group that does these embassies. And I always would ask him, well, where are you headed to? Because he was rarely in the country to attend the small group. So when he was, it was always fascinating. Where have you been and where are you going? And one time he had just come from Burkina Faso. You familiar with that country in Western Africa?
Nope. Yeah.
Burkina Faso. It's over there kind of near Ghana. But what's interesting about it is the capital city where they built the embassy. The city's name is Ouagadougou.
There you go.
Huh? I mean, that's almost a full sentence, Ouagadougou. I mean, you could say that to bring joy to people. Ouagadougou.
Hey, man, Universal is they're trying to get a new theme park open over outside of London, which is apparently challenging because several people have tried it and haven't been able to get through it. But they've at least announced that they've acquired the land in Bedford, which I don't know where that is.
Bedford,
But they said it's about 45 minutes outside the city, so that's kind of cool.
Why don't they support it? Is it just that they don't like to have fun in London?
Man, I don't know. But they have a lot of – I think they actually have several of these things over there.
Yeah.
But people have tried to come in, and for whatever reason, it hasn't worked out. But maybe Universal will get it done.
Are the British maudlin? Like they have something against joy?
Well, and it's got all the Harry Potter stuff, so
yeah,
that would just fit right in for them.
Yeah.
But, hey, Rip from Yellowstone, he's got some new booze coming out, a new bourbon, the Lazy K Bar Whiskey.
Oh.
He's partnered with the Lazy K Lazy K is a big ranch out there, so the guy that owns
Cole, like,
and another
big
guy that
ranch.
Actually knows how to do it. They've gone together, and it'll only be available at retailers in Montana, so if you can get your hands on some, it'd probably be good, but about $100 a bottle for that.
Yeah.
And you can't get it online. You got to go out there and pick up a bottle for it. And then William H. Macy, who's one of the best actors in the country,
For sure.
He's got his own, a rye whiskey. He said he's a big rye guy.
Yeah.
But he's a partner in Woody Creek Distillers. And do you know where Woody Creek is in Colorado?
I don't.
It's
I don't
outside
know
of Aspen somewhere.
Oh,
but
nice,
his
okay.
wife, actress Felicity Huffman, is from there. So they spend time there, and now he's become an investor, and he says the spokes dude for Woody Creek Distillers. But that's going to be about $200 a bottle.
Oh, good grief. Gosh, it looks like we need to get into
the
distillery.
I mean, I need to be a celebrity.
Yeah,
that's what
something
it is,
like
I could
that.
Have my own stuff.
Felicity, I didn't know she was from Woody Creek. That's it. Well, we talked last week about Glenwood Springs, which is sort of, it would have to be nearby that area. It'd be the exit off of I-70 to get to those places, and how they're expanding by five new therapeutic pools and all that in Glenwood Springs. So, interesting stuff going on. You can go, get a nice little therapeutic soak in a Glenwood Springs new pool, and then go get a William H. Macy Reserve over there near Woody Creek.
Yeah, man, that'd be good.
Yeah, for sure. I thought this was interesting. The Stanley Hotel in Estes Park. Now, this is the hotel that was not filmed. It's not the hotel that's filmed in The Shining. It's the hotel that Stephen King stayed at to conceive of the idea of The Shining. It turns out that he stayed there in 1974 as they were closing down to the degree that there was really only one more room or one room left that didn't have all of its bed linens and towels removed for storage for the winter. And he begged and begged and begged for them to let him stay that one night. And they surrendered and allowed him to do it. It was already rumored to be haunted back then. He stayed the night. And by the morning, he had conceived fully of the whole idea of the book, The Shining. So that's interesting. It just sold to a nonprofit, Tony, for $475 million, and I can't wrap my brain around that. So they're going to come in and build 58 more rooms. They're going to build a film center, and they're going to operate the hotel as a cultural resource. But what I thought was interesting, The Stanley Hotel is named after F.O. Stanley, who built it in 1909 with the funds that he received from Mr. Eastman of Kodak.
Yeah.
Because he had bought Mr. Stanley's photographic plates invention for this new photography thing that surely is just going to be a shot in the dark. Photography can't go anywhere. He sold it for anywhere between $600,000 to $800,000, which is about $21 to $28 million in today's funds. It's really, really interesting. $475 million, the Stanley Hotel.
Man, well, hey, let's go to the Truett Insurance and Bonding Hotline and talk with Sam Titchener. This is going to be fun. Sam, yeah. Are you with us?
Sam.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Hey, man, doing great. Thanks so much for being part of the show with us. Sam is the founder and CEO of FUPS.
Everybody's heard of FUPS.
Yeah, I love this story, and can't wait for you to tell us about it. But you just decided to make your own snack food, and how does one go about doing that? Give me some background on this.
Yeah.
Well, it's both easier and harder than it sounds. So I had a background in consumer products. My job before this was working for a mid-tier consumer products company coming up with new brand ideas. So it was kind of already my job to do this.
I gotcha.
I was just going through the grocery store one day, and I was grabbing a bag of Cheetos. I was grabbing a bag of salt and vinegar chips, and I kind of just asked myself, like, why can't this be the same thing?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So kind of just went through the process of understanding, well, like, how is it manufactured, and is there any reason why all puffs are cheese? And as I kept going through it, every answer to every question I had was something I was like, I feel like I can solve this or do this. So there was never a reason to stop. The challenge with puffs is that you can't really make them at home.
Yeah.
So had to find a good manufacturing partner.
I was going to ask that. Yeah, how do you run that down?
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, it was hard. I think we spoke to probably 50-plus manufacturers. Nobody wanted to take us on because they were just like, why add the complexity of new flavors and different things? And we have dessert flavors, so, you know, putting sugar in something that's typically salt, like, even though it sounds easy, and it is, you know, people just like, why would they waste their time? Like, they've... we're still nobody, but at the time we were definitely nobody. So we luckily found a couple partners willing to take us on. We've kind of manufactured in California and New Jersey. So we feel like we finally found a way to make a product at a reasonable price so that we can not lose money every bag we sell, which is part of an important
That's
part
a good business plan.
So. Yeah, right. Yeah. It's that profit thing, right. Yeah, for sure.
That's why you're the leader of the company right there.
I got to looking at store locations where you are sold, and it looks like you just it's dominated by the New York City boroughs. What was it, about 89 of them between Manhattan and Brooklyn and maybe the Bronx up in there. But it does reach around,
too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so reason why we're concentrated there, number one, I live in New York, and second, we just happen to get a distributor that focuses on the East Coast to start, so they actually serve Virginia up through Boston.
Oh, yeah.
We're kind of slowly building out with them, launched a couple of months ago, and seeing some good success with that. I think for us, when we started the business, it was, you know, selling snacks on the internet, which... surprise, surprise, like that's not really what people want to be doing. Like, they'd rather buy it in a grocery store.
We
kind of have used the early signs of success online to convince some distributors to take us in, and from there, like, we're moving more towards like having a bunch of single serve products, having more flavors and all that, to really just make sure that we can, you know, sell in a grocery store and in a convenience store in the way that consumers want to buy from us.
How many flavors do you have now?
We like have five right now. We were out of stock on one, like we kind of just paused one of them, just because it was getting a little bit complicated and it wasn't selling through too fast. But so we've got four in the market right now. We've got about 10 or so in development that I'm excited about. I think there's with our manufacturer also does some R&D for us. So like they've been kind of just like playing around on the side, and they're going to be sending me some samples soon. And we really, like, we have this unique relationship with them where, like, we can make really small batches and do some crazy stuff. So I'm excited for doing a bunch of new flavors next year.
Well, you definitely sound like you found the right manufacturer. Folks, this is Truett News Radio. We're on the air right now with Sam Titchener of FUPS. And by the way, FUPS is not a random
title.
Tell us
about the name.
Yeah,
the name. So, PUFS backwards but wrong.
Right, yeah. Right, for sure.
it's hard to name a brand, and I don't come from a marketing background at all. Previously I was kind of just doing like new brand development, which is really just like commercialization and great. We have this idea. How do you manufacture it? Like what could we sell it and all that type of stuff. So I was like, all right, cool. I have this concept for a business. Like, how do I name it? So I worked with some branding folks, and like what we were doing was just like taking the puffs category and flipping it on its side. So we figured like, well, what is it? What if we just name it that way? And I think the fun part is like, some people will call it F ups, which I think is funny. It's not a joke that like we would make as a brand ourselves, but we're comfortable with other people making it.
Right. Right. And yeah, just, for sure.
It's just a little different. Like it's one of those names that it's memorable. It's just unique and very different. Like, sure, we could have done, oh, it's Sam's snack brand. Like yeah. Everybody
right,
does
right.
that.
Sure,
so
sure.
That's not enough.
Well, you talk about not having a marketing background. I love what you're doing with the marketing.
Yeah, right.
The whole thing of nothing about
is it healthy?
Is good for
is
you.
It healthy?
It's just good,
Yeah. and it's funny you say that. Like, I feel I hear that from time to time, and I think some of it is just like I have the kind of beginner's mentality to it, so I don't know what the rules are. I don't really care what the conventions are. It's just it's a product for someone like me, and my bet is that there are other people like me out there
who
like to eat regular snacks.
Well, I got to tell you, Sam, I mean, and I alluded to it right as I did your introduction or reintroduction there a second ago, but I mean, truly, the aggravation that you found with going to some of these manufacturers that were thinking, well, that's not the way we do it, so I don't want to do it. Sounds like you landed at home with the perfect group, right? Where they're literally on their own wanting to go out there and experiment with flavors, which real quick to go backwards, what are the four flavors that are on the market?
Yeah, so we've got, and my thoughts on these were like, take chip flavors, take cereal flavors, put them on a puff. So we do have a cheddar. Like you can't be a puff brand without one. It's kind of like the gateway flavor, so to speak.
Right.
Then we've got a salt and vinegar, a sour cream and onion. We have a cinnamon toast, popular cereal. And then the other flavor we have is called instant hot chocolate, which is basically a cocoa puff.
Okay, gotcha.
Then we're working on like barbecue, pickle.
Yeah.
Apple pie flavor.
Oh.
We're looking at maybe doing like a root beer flavor, which would be really out there.
Yeah.
And you got to be having a ball doing that.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Well,
that's great.
Now, you know, we're here in the state of Alabama, from the northern border to the southern border. So for folks here who are listening and want to get some sour cream poofs, instead of just cheesy poofs, how would they get their hands on a bag of pups?
Two places for you guys, Amazon and our website, pups.com.
All right.
Would be the two places where, you know, slowly we actually are starting to build out some distribution everywhere east of the Mississippi, basically. So hopefully in stores near you within the year, but if not, that's what the internet's for, I guess.
The pups needs to be with Piggly Wiggly. I mean,
you guys
need to be with the pig.
Yeah.
And for everybody listening, that's FFUPS, .com, but it's, I'm going to go back to what I just said. I mean, you've got on top of it, you know, being a good business and all that. Like I said, that's got to be a blast just sitting around saying, "Man, I do want a root beer flavor, or I do want this."
Right.
Is that just you driving that, or do you go out to, the people help you come up with it to make the new flavors, or they say this is easier than that, or how do you land on that stuff?
It's a bit of a mix, so. I always like to engage customers and just people, and just I'll do a lot of surveys, say what flavors do you want to see us do, see if I can find some common themes out there. So that's like a big component of it, always just trying to engage like people who would buy it to make sure that I'm not just going crazy on my own.
Yeah,
and then part of it is kind of just like gut feeling. Like if I have a strong point of view that I think that this would be a good flavor, I'll go and do it, or at least try it out. And like there's, you know, early on, like the flavors we did pick to launch with, like that was primarily driven by just a survey. And then we kind of got 8 flavors from that we prioritized. And then from that group of 8, I just, you know, we only wanted to launch 5. And so I just picked the ones that myself and, you know, my wife and a couple of our friends thought tasted the best. So a little bit of a mix of art and science.
You know, it's interesting. I spent my summer between my junior and senior year in college with Smart Food, which was just purchased at that point by Frito-Lay because Smart Food had done everything wrong, quote unquote, right? But they had started in Marlboro, Massachusetts, back when Doritos was only nacho cheese and was the cash cow for Frito-Lay. And Smart Food came along, did everything wrong. And Frito-Lay just didn't even worry about them. They didn't do TV advertising, radio advertising. They did what they call guerrilla marketing. They had a biplane with a big banner. They would have basically costumes that looked like the bag. They would give out free samples, and Frito-Lay just completely blew them off. Well, next thing you knew, Smart Food was outselling every Frito-Lay product, including nacho cheese Doritos, in Boston, and so they bought them and released basically a guerrilla marketing team in 12 different markets throughout the country at the time I lived in Denver. And I sit there and think about your brand, your little, you know, with respect, I mean, you know, little brand where you're sitting there trying to figure out how to grow, how to get a distribution system, how to go into different markets. And I just sit there and think guerrilla marketing, I mean, you know, getting the free sample into the hands of consumers out there in a way that's a lot of fun. And they attach that fun to the product itself. I mean, you've got a really good thing going there. It'd be interesting to see how you continue to market and grow the brand. Yeah,
man, I tell you, we're absolutely pulling for you. Can't wait to help get the word out for you down here. We're going to talk about FUPS from now on because I'm going to keep track of you. But we're about to have to run. Anything, what would you like everybody to know? You said it's about a year, hopefully, before you get into Alabama. But I'd love to hear too, if you can sum up real quick, what is the strategy on that? Do you pick kind of, I'm going south now, or I'm going west, or are you doing it all at once, or what's your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it's part of it is just like who wants us, and does it make sense for us to go there? And then I think the more methodical part of it is we're based in the Northeast. We're slowly growing our way out. So, you know, it's just kind of like building that circle and just going wider and wider. And knowing that we do have some broker relationships that serve the Southeast, and then we have another relationship that serves kind of the Midwest. So it's really just one, now that we have those relationships, that, you know, we've got a distributor locked in Michigan. We've now got one in kind of like Virginia and the Carolinas. So it's kind of just like, well, what's the next step from there? It's kind of just continuing to build it out.
Well, man, FUPS has a huge future, I think.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Man, best of luck with everything, and everybody out there, go support them. FUPS.com. And Sam, thanks so much for getting up and being on the show with us this morning.
Absolutely.
Yeah, of course. Happy to do it.
All right, man. Guys. We'll see you.
All right, we'll see you, Sam. Yeah, that's Sam Titchener, the owner of FUPS, which again is FUPS. Like you said,
cool,
it's Puffs. It's Puff spelled backwards, only it isn't. But we had a lot of fun to talk to him. Really impressive fella, and I'm excited to see what they do with the brand.
I just am still amazed at things like that. I mean, I have just zero ability to pull something like that off, and like I'm going to make a cheese puff, and goes and does it, and it's working out, man.
I meant to ask him if he's a Cartman fan, right, from South Park with the cheesy poofs, but I mean, you know, no coincidence though necessarily. I mean, this is a guy with a background in an understanding of how to do this,
how that business works.
But he decides, I want to blend different flavors with Puffs, and I think that's a brilliant concept. How had it not been done before? But best of luck to Puffs.
But really appreciate him coming on. I mean, like I said, he's up in New York and making this thing happen, but I'm looking forward to it coming into Alabama. It's going to be great.
For sure.
Man, another brand that's out there doing stuff that you may have heard of, Love's, which is one of my favorites. I love going around, but they finished up strong on 2023. They opened up 4 new places in the last week of the year. So they now have 644 locations in 42 states. And it has another 430 truck service centers under different brands. It's the largest oil change, preventive maintenance, and total truck care nationwide network, with over 1,500 maintenance bays and 1,200 emergency roadside vehicles available. I mean, again, that started with Mr. Love, who recently passed away. But, I mean, one location, and that's grown into this. Who knows what Sam may be able to get together with it.
Yeah, no doubt. I'll tell you what's interesting. Have you ever heard of CEFCO?
No.
Not, well, I hadn't either. But there are three of them all around Navarre.
Is that CEF?
CEFCO.
Yeah, I have.
Yeah, they're pretty big. I mean, when I say big, they're bigger than your typical, you know, brand name service station. They're not Buc-ee's by any stretch. But I think they've got a concept, you know, where we're going to be a little bit bigger. They've got, for example, an ethanol-free gas, you know, different grades. But then inside, it's a little bit bigger, you know, food service and restaurant kind of thing. But that's taken over the Gulf Coast a little bit, at least there in the panhandle of Florida. But it'll be interesting to see what CEFCO does.
Brock, Jim and Nick's got a new location opened in Augusta recently. That's nice. Their 45th location.
Oh, yeah.
They got big plans for 2024. Yeah. They're planning another 9 to have open this coming year. So that's another brand that started right here.
Yeah.
And, you know, is has a great future.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm a big Jim and Nick's
fan.
Yeah,
no, I like their barbecue an awful lot. Chipotle. Chipotle's growing, right?
Man, love Chipotle. They opened up a new one in Daphne. You know, we got a little office down in Daphne for Truett Insurance and Bonding, which I'm going to tell you about right now.
Oh, tell me.
So next time I'm down there, I'm going to get some Chipotle. But, man, we do all the business insurance, work with a lot of contractors, set up a new one this week. It was a startup I'm excited about. They're going to grow that company, get some bonds. We do a lot of bond work for the contractors around the state, all kinds of projects, you know, roads, schools, anything you're doing like that, government buildings. And we'd love to help you on that. I'm proud that we are still owned in Birmingham. One of the bond guys I ran into the other day was saying, he's like, dang, man, you're one of the last ones that are still owned in Alabama that does bonds. And I'm proud of that. So if we can help you, we would love to do it and get you a program together to help make you more profitable. So come give me a holler.
Yeah, no, absolutely. By the way, I was down again in Navarre for Christmas and discovered that there's a Chipotle going in Navarre as well.
I'm a huge fan of Chipotle, man. I never really went there. I went with you one time years ago, and then I stayed out of it. But I finally started going probably, I don't know, 6 months ago.
Yeah.
And, man, it's heavy into the rotation
now.
Sure. I like it a lot.
Well, you know, once you get your order dialed in, right, well, kind of the things that you like in it, boom. I mean, that's then you're done. Then it's you kind of crave it for sure.
What else we got here? The Alabama Supreme Court. I found this kind of interesting. They just ruled. I didn't quite follow all this, but this sort of falls under your understanding of things in the legal sector. But they ruled an appraisal isn't arbitration. And I know you do a lot of arbitration, but kind of quickly, they had a condo down there. One of the big
The fact situation is really more interesting than the holding.
Yeah, everybody got out of there for Hurricane Sally, but one of the owners left a faucet open,
right?
And so
but
when,
didn't know it because they had turned off the water to the building.
So when the water came back on for the building, it flooded the stack of them below and caused massive damage. So there's been a big lawsuit going back and forth, and the insurance company that they're on the hook, and they were trying to get out of it, or what was
so the homeowners association, you know, individual owners, all that, a lot of people sued a lot of people, and eventually this particular insurance company came in and they said, well, we're denying the claim. There was a motion filed, I think, by the homeowners association. It was a petition for an appraisal, and the insurance company came in and said, well, wait a minute now. There's an arbitration clause in our insurance contract, and that should be handled under that should be compelled so that this court does not have jurisdiction over that appraisal. They attempted to argue the application of the Federal Arbitration Act, blah, blah, blah. So, I think a lot of people's eyes are probably crossing at this point. But yeah, ultimately, what the court decided was that an appraisal is not arbitration. It would not be subject to the otherwise very broad scope of the Federal Arbitration Act, and that court did maintain jurisdiction. So it denied the motion by the insurance company to dismiss that motion for appraisal.
Yeah. Hey, we're about to go back to the hotline, but Brock, we need to go to this. The Alabama Cattlemen's Association's 81st annual convention and trade shows coming up in Huntsville in February, the 23rd and 24th. I bet that will be fun to go to.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
Get some good grub at that, I bet.
Hey, we've got someone on the hotline, someone we both know very well.
Yeah. Huh? Let's go and talk with Jennifer Andrus.
Jennifer,
are you with us?
I am. Good morning and Happy New Year, guys.
Absolutely. How are you doing? I haven't talked to you in forever. Jennifer is on the city council.
I know, but you know what? It's like no time has passed.
That's I know. Right. Absolutely. You just jump back in.
Good friends. It's like no time. That's right.
We tend to just like to talk to each other live on the air.
Yeah,
that's
the best way.
That's the best way to do it.
We can just check the boxes. Hey,
well, I have to say, yeah, but I was going to say, before we get started, I have to tell everybody that tomorrow, 24 years ago, was mine and my husband Keith's first date, and you both were there with
him. Yes, we were.
We blessed
you. You guys will always be such a huge part of our family.
Yeah, that's awesome. Hey, kind of get going here. Jennifer is on the Homewood City Council, and Homewood probably has as much activity as anywhere in the Birmingham area going on all the time. There's so many projects and things happening over there. It's just such a well-located place. It has the cool downtown. But Brock and I, we always go to Seeds, you know, and grab breakfast after the show and over there in West Homewood.
West Homewood.
Wow, I mean, that whole strip is getting redone. Tell us some of the stuff happening over there.
Well, first of all, you want to talk about transformation. I mean, West Homewood, you want to talk about where it's at. West Homewood is just, I'm so excited to be a very, very small part of what's going on over there.
I mean,
the neighbors who live over there are just, you know, so invested and so active. And, you know, we've got two great city councilors that are in West Homewood. And so you've seen where they have finally taken down that Econo Lodge. Tom Walker has got this just fabulous project going in. There's going to be a Paramount, is going to be there, and El Barrio is going to be there.
Yeah.
They have got, some loft apartments that are going in, and then some townhomes with a green space in the middle. And it's just, I mean, that whole area, I just love it. Absolutely. It's so organic, and we're just so proud of what's going on over there.
I used to be a member of Nexus Fitness, you know, which is right there across from Seeds.
That's
and
right.
There used to be this big fence, you know, and then there was that, you know, relative eyesore of the Econo Lodge. And as they started to tear it down, I was thinking, gosh, is there enough space for all that? But now that it's cleared out, boy, that is an awful lot of space. That's a really exciting project.
It's going to be nice to see some of that asphalt get pulled out and put some green space in there.
Yeah.
And then, you know, on the other side of Nexus, there's another project going on. I can't remember the details off the top of my head.
Wygand, right?
Where it's sort of that Wygand.
Yeah.
Yep, that's right. They're going to redo that for some retail space there, maybe some retail and office space. And so that's really nice. On the other side of West Homewood, we have got phase two of the Greenway that is going to be looking to complete in March. And so that picks up at the Green Springs End trailhead and goes another 1.4 miles along the creek. And so that's going to end kind of by the Walmart, and maybe there's a new apartment complex that's back there that's just right at the Birmingham Homewood line over there, as far west, southwest as you can get. And so we're putting lighting up there at the new trailhead, and that's going to be another 1.4 miles. And I can tell you, it's beautiful back there. I've got some friends. It's not open yet officially, but I've got people I know that have already been back on that trail, and they just said it's absolutely beautiful.
Oh, what? No, so will that be behind? Will that be behind Wildwood? Is that what we're talking about?
Yep, that's right. So if you pick up on the Green Springs Inn and you just follow the creek, we built this big, beautiful bridge that crosses the creek. So kind of where the apartment complex is, right behind where the Circle K is. And then you just follow the creek, and it's just going to, it's just the Shades Creek Greenway phase two. And it's been in the works for, you know, 20 years. I mean, it really has been a long time coming. And so it's finally going to be open in March.
Oh, wow.
And that's big news.
Well, that is exciting.
Speaking of greenways, we have another project that we're really excited about that we're working on, that we've got a grant for. And that's going to be, if you picture where Central Park is in Homewood, and kind of that looks like a drainage ditch, but it's really Griffin Creek. It follows up to Spring Park in Rosedale. We have got a grant request, and we are in the design phase to redo and make that a greenway and beautify that creek and actually turn it into what it's intended to be. So, you know, kind of think same thing, Shade Street Greenway. You can see Central Park connected to Spring Park, which would eventually connect to the sidewalk system, go over the mountain to Vulcan Trail. So this is all kind of connecting.
Yeah.
I know, it's so fun. It's so fun to kind of pick the pieces that need to, you know, make it all happen. It's been really, really fun to look at all that.
Well, there's such great stuff. I mean, I'm still, I think that Valley Hotel project over there, I mean, that's had to have had a dramatic impact. I mean, just...
Well, a lot of synergy in what was around it, right? Edgar's and then the Pyakkus group coming in. Yeah, for sure.
That's right.
You know, it's... I mean,
and even the spaces behind there, have beautified. Even the spaces behind there have invested and beautified, and that's really what you want to happen with, you know, an economic development piece like that. That hotel is magnificent, and we're so proud of it. It's so beautiful.
Oh, it is. I mean, and it's not that, like, downtown Homewood wasn't nice beforehand or any of that, but, I mean, what a just amazing...
It sort of extended the niceness,
It really
right?
did.
Yeah,
and then the landscaping or the streetscaping, all of that, y'all did a great job on that.
I'll tell you what's exciting to me.
And I have to shout out... Oh, yeah, sorry. I was going to say I have to shout out Jane Reed Ross. Jane Reed Ross did the design for that landscaping and is the landscape architect of the aforementioned Shade Creek Greenway. So she is the developer from the beginning. So I got to give her a shout out. So,
for sure.
I had to interrupt you, Brock, with that.
No, gosh, that's exciting. I'm excited to see that green. Because that, kind of near one of those areas, one thing I'm excited about, but I haven't yet been able to access it yet because everybody else is excited about it. And that's Biddy and Bose right there, sort of catty corner from Heroes.
Oh, yeah. I had coffee there just right before Christmas. It is lovely. Oh, it is. It's such a lovely space. And it was packed, like you said. It was absolutely packed. I parked across the street at the rec center and walked over. It was so crowded. Absolutely delightful place. Really lovely.
You're listening to Truett News Radio. We're on the air with our good friend, Jennifer Andrus, also a council person for the Homewood City Council. And we're just talking about all things Homewood. I mean, is there any other project or going on in the city of Homewood that we haven't addressed yet?
Yeah, let's see. We've got let me talk about the park systems a little bit. Central Park, aforementioned Central Park, which is right there across from Biddy and Bose, it is actually going to be undergoing a $1 million transformation. So we are going to bring sort of all of the playground equipment sort of up to modern standards. So that is going to be, you're going to see that totally renovated, and that's going to be starting at the end of this month, end of January, and that'll be ready by the end of the spring. So look for that. That's a real big project that we're real proud of. And then there's a brand new park. It's not quite the same, not at the same scale, but it's on Salter Road, kind of where South Wellington is. And so, you know, several years when I first got on the council, you know, Salter's a big, long road with a lot of really challenging topography, but, you know, a lot of pedestrians use it. A lot of people live on there. So we started dropping in segments of sidewalk as best we could. You know, it wouldn't be this big, long, you know, we couldn't go in there and just make this big, long sidewalk that we had to do it. You know, we had to piece it out with budget-wise. Sure. But we started putting the pieces together, and now we have a sidewalk that is headed up to this new park. And again, Jane Reed Ross designed, and so you know, you'll get that same lovely, you know, the appeal that she has. And it's more, it's like I said, it's a smaller scale. It's more of a passive park where you can go and sit and your kids can swing.
Sure.
And so that should be opening up pretty soon, too. And that's been in the works for a while. And then one more thing I want to mention. Again, these things take a long time.
Yep.
Several years ago, we talked about how downtown, like you said, is spreading out and moving off 18th Street.
Sure.
Linden, for example, Linden Avenue is just, you know, adorable, a little wonderful place to go shop back in there. It's a great place. I have to shout out Pebblehurst if you guys haven't been there yet. Really nice shop. But past there on Reese Street where the Battery is, you know, there's a lot of pedestrian activity between that area and downtown, and so we are finally going to go out to bid for a sidewalk system to connect so you can walk, add more parking, and add more of the decorative lighting. So you'll see that. So that project's been several years in the works, so that's finally coming.
I'm a big fan of Caveat Coffee, and I think that's along that road you're talking about. And yeah,
that's,
you know,
right.
Parking's sometimes an issue, so that'll be a welcome addition.
Yeah, and Jennifer, I mean, you hit it on the head. All these projects, they do take a long time to, you know, to come together, and I'm sure you are working on stuff, you know, now that you can't really disclose, but,
sure.
5 years from now, you know, what do you think? I'm sure downtown's still going to keep booming and all that, but, I mean, it looks like West Homewood in particular, there's just so much activity.
And we haven't even talked about Edgewood yet.
Yeah, stuff going on in Edgewood. I mean,
you
know, what do you see in Homewood in 5 years? I mean, all the neighborhoods are thriving, it seems. The school system's great.
For sure.
It's just so much good news coming out of there.
We're so proud of it. We are, you know, the sidewalk system that we have, you know, this kind of plan originated before I was on the council, but we've sort of been carrying it through the last, you know, 2 terms that I've been on there. But it started sort of at the school system and worked its way out. And so we've covered a lot of, you know, Edgewood's mostly got sidewalks now. You know, we've done a lot in Ward 4, Ward 5, and that's where I live, in Hollywood. But we still have a lot to go, and so now we're sort of getting into sort of the more complicated, more expensive projects. So I hope, you know, right now we're putting a sidewalk on Delcrest Drive and over in West Homewood again. And so I hope to see a continuation. We have a lot of infrastructure stuff we're going to start working on this year, stormwater and creek wall repairs, and that's kind of not fun stuff, and it's kind of like when you have to buy lamps and rugs for your house. It's really
right.
But the thing is, everybody likes lamps and rugs and stuff, so you know, that's the other thing. All this has to be paid for, you know. And nobody appreciates garbage collection, but it's necessary.
I mean, it's not sexy and exciting, but by golly, you sure know it when it's in disrepair or it fails. That's for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you want to talk about, you know, that, you know, flooding from a creek or something like that, that is catastrophic. So,
absolutely.
So we're going to put some work in there. We had a fantastic city engineer named Kale Smith. I mean, he has just been amazing. A couple things I want to mention. And Brock, just, you know, going back to the 5 years, or Tony, the Brookwood Mall, we have not heard anything from the developers. So I know a lot of people, I get that question all the time, what's going on over there? And so we are just waiting for them to bring a plan to us, because any plan they bring us is going to take a rezoning.
Sure.
And there will be all kinds of public hearings and public opportunities for input. So, but no news over there.
Whatever happens there is going to be phenomenal, because, I mean, that may be the best piece of real estate in our area.
So Six Flags was just a rumor, right?
Yeah.
So there's no Six Flags going in there?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And the 1,000-unit apartment complex, that's not happening
either. Right, right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, and the good news is we are arm-in-arm with our neighbors in Mountain Brook, because, you know, some of that property is Mountain Brook.
Sure.
And so that's going to require us to work with them, which we have a real close relationship with them. We love them to death. And so any decisions we make are going to impact those cities, you know, at the same. But also I wanted to mention, this is a really big deal. I can't believe it took me this long to mention this, but we are looking to go out to vote in the first quarter of this year to change our form of city government to a city manager form of government. This is a really big deal. This is something that...
Yep.
We've talked about, a lot of people talked to us about it in the last election. A lot of people are interested in this, and our neighbors in Mountain Brook and Vestavia and Hoover, have the same type, but not quite exactly the same. Vestavia is the model that we're following. So, of course, you guys know Jeff Downs is amazing. We're looking to bring in professional, full-time city management. And in order to do that, we would change the way the city council looks. It would go down to a 4-person council. We're at 11 right now. We're the biggest council in the state. It's crazy. But we're all part-time, and we're all taking phone calls about, you know, things like trash collection and, you know, potholes and things like that, that really should be a city administrator. And so we're going to, that's going to go out to vote to the city, citizens to say, is this what you want? And if so, if it passes, then we're going to begin the process of hiring a search firm and hiring a city manager for full-time city management, which, like you said, Homewood, you know, there's no place else where it's going on more than Homewood,
and
we need it.
It's one of those, particularly, you know, mayor and the council, everybody wants to do good, and they run for offices and all that. But, I mean, you know, almost nobody is equipped to make these decisions on long-term developments. And, have somebody as a guiding hand, that makes a lot of sense, that can keep you informed, and then you can make the decisions. But, hey, Jennifer, we got to run. But
do you know that your Texas Longhorns have a game coming up? I don't know if you knew that. Is that right?
I do know that. You know what's so funny is on the city council, there's me, there's Andrew Wolverton, who went to Washington, and then Walter Jones went to Alabama.
Oh, goodness.
And we have a meeting on January 8th, and I'm like, one of the three of us is probably going to be at that meeting. But yes, I do. So, you know, hook them horns all day long. So proud. It's been a great season. Man, it's been a great season.
Yeah. fun.
Well, hey, again, thanks so much for coming on with us, and hope to run into you soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. And,
love it. And, absolutely. And, so great to talk to y'all.
And congrats for the anniversary of the first date.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell Keith hello for us.
I will absolutely do that, you guys. Great to talk to y'all.
All right. See you, Jennifer.
Take care.
That's Jennifer Anders, good friend of ours, and a member of the Homewood City Council. Really interesting things going on there in the city of Homewood.
She does a great job.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, I know a lot of the real estate people that she sort of intersects with on a lot of those projects, and they all talk highly of her.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, I hear some music. In fact, it was very, very loud for a second. Who are you?
I'm Tony Truitt, Truitt Insurance and Bonding. John, does that mean we need to wrap up? Nope, we still got time.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's our music.
Who are you?
I'm Tony Truitt, Truitt Insurance and Bonding. So we'll get it back on track. If we can help you with insurance or your bond needs, we'd love to do it.
All right. I'm Brock Murphy with the Brock G. Murphy Law Firm. Love to help you out if you're a small business. Do a lot of stuff related to construction and help people resolve their disputes as well. Tony, did you know?
Hey, did you know gold is far rarer than diamonds, but is only the 58th rarest earth element?
Oh, I didn't know that. Did you know that Dawn Wells of Gilligan's Island did the best financially out of the entire cast? Her husband was an agent and told her to add a royalties clause, so she's the only one who continues to get checks today.
All right. How about, did you know each year is approaching I don't know what that means. I got the wrong thing. Oh. How about this? I'll go with another one. Did you know cyanide pills were distributed to audience members of the last Berlin Philharmonic concert on the 12th of April, 1945, as the Allied forces approached?
Oh, good grief. I didn't know that. Did you know Raquel Welch was the first choice for Marianne and Gilligan's Island? She declined, which might have been a good career move. Not a single cast member found a major role on another show.
Hey, did you know London has 6 major airports, but only one, London City, is within the Greater London border?
Oh, I didn't know that. Did you know Don Wells authored a book called What Would Marianne Do? It's part memoir, part self-help, a lot of behind-the-scenes stories, but it's also written like Marianne, includes advice from the point of view of the 1950s Kansas girl on the trials and tribulations of modern society.
Did you know Henry VIII was nicknamed Old Coppernose?
Oh, I didn't know that. Did you know I have no more did you know?
No, man, let's start wrapping it up. Everybody, listen, thanks for listening.
Check us out on social media. We got LinkedIn accounts. We got Facebook accounts. We got Instagram accounts. Message us on it. Let us know what you want to hear. If you got a story,
catch us again next week.
Yeah, absolutely. And everybody, happy new year to the folks around the state of Alabama. Alabama, we'll see.